right. If you would, open your Bibles again with me to Mark chapter 10. And we're continuing our series on the family. And as I said earlier, that this message today is going to be R-rated. We're going to deal with some things and talk about some things that you normally don't hear in church. And so I will caution you to be prepared, buckle your seatbelts. Excuse me, Al, could you hand me the box there?
Yes, sir.
And thank you. And we're going to do our best to share some good things with you. All right? Okay. Remember where we began this series with the theme from The Godfather. Remember that? And I did that only because I wanted you to think about our conception or our ideas of what a family is. And The Godfather is fiction. We're dealing with real life. And the decisions that we make will have import not only in our lifetime, but will affect generations. And so we need to understand family from God's standpoint and His point of view. And we began this series with, and you can just jot this down, a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, where Paul wrote to this Gentile church and said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And then he said this, "So don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And so there's a contrast that is given in that we have choices in life and we can choose to understand God's will and walk in it, or we can be fools. And I don't know about you, but if I have a choice between A and B, wisdom or foolishness, I'm going to take wisdom every time. It doesn't pay to be a fool. Fools don't live well. Fools don't end up well, and fools have a lot of problems. And so we always endeavor to walk in the wisdom of God rather than foolishness. And we defined wisdom a few weeks ago as the taking in of the Word of God, or I'm sorry, knowledge is the taking in of the Word of God. Wisdom is the application, the accurate application of what we learn from the Word of God. And so we don't want to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, Mark chapter 10. And as I said, this is a series, so I don't have time to go back and, you know, talk about my disclaimer on these lessons. Whenever I teach on marriage and the family, I always let people know, you know, if I talk about a subject that hits close to home, don't be offended. I'm not talking about you. All right? We all have our big boy pants on today. Amen. And the last thing I want to do is offend anybody, but I have to deal with these subjects in order for us to learn and grow. All right? Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. This is speaking of Jesus. We talked about this text last week. "Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea," beginning with verse 1, "by the other side of Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, and he was as he was accustomed, and he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?' testing him. And he answered and said to them, 'What did Moses command you?' They said, 'Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife.'" Notice verse 8. "And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Now, no teaching of the family would be complete without talking about marriage. And no teaching on the family would be complete if we didn't understand God's plan on the subject. As I said last week or a couple weeks ago, when we open the pages of the Bible, we see the wisdom of God and life that as He designed it. Are you with me? This wisdom shows us the best life that's available. And so it's up to us to conform to it, and we have the ability to do it. Now, notice that scripture again. God's original design reveals how we are best designed to live. And so there are several things, as I said last week, we live in a culture that's crazy and lost. And so God's original plan was for two people, male and female, to become one flesh, husband and wife. That is God's design. You with me? Now, that doesn't mean that we discriminate or hate anybody. We don't hate anybody. Listen, this is the way God intended for us to live. I like what Joshua said many, many millennia ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Y'all can do whatever you want to do. You with me? I'm going to walk in the wisdom of God. You want to be a fool? Knock yourself out. So God's plan was never for three to become one. In other words, plural marriage. That was never God's plan. Now, you find in ancient times that it was common in some cultures. Remember, we talked about differences in culture. In the New Testament times, it was also common for men to have multiple wives. That means more than one. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy when he was talking about qualifications for ministry. He said, he that seeks a certain office desires a good thing, bishop, episkopos. He said, so the person who endeavors to step into this office must be the husband of one wife. Now, he wasn't talking about, as some people stretch the scripture to say something it doesn't mean. I remember years ago I was endeavoring to help an organization fill a pastoral slot. And I knew of a very good, able minister who was willing to take this church and grow it. And so I facilitated the contacts between this man and this organization. And I said, he's a great guy. He'll make a great pastor. He's got experience. He's done it before. I mean, he had a huge church in another state, and the membership had grown to well over 1,000. This guy's able and qualified to fulfill that role. Well, this organization got to talking with him, and then all of a sudden the talks broke off and nothing happened. And I went to the guy and said, well, what happened? How did it progress? He said, well, they wouldn't accept me. I said, why? He said, well, you know, when I was a young man before I came to Jesus, I got married and divorced. And after I came to Christ, I remarried. And they said, no, you're not the husband of one wife. Well, that's not what the scripture's talking about. Paul is writing to Timothy and said, you want a person in this position who's the husband of one wife presently. Because when they have multiple wives, it becomes problematic. And that person is not fit to serve in this position of ministry. Because with multiple wives, you're going to have multiple problems. That's a good one, wasn't it? That just came right out. Mark it down, Wisdom 101. Multiple wives equal multiple problems. Yeah, that's good. So plural marriage was never God's plan. You with me? Open marriage, where two people get married and, you know, but if you have feelings for another person, you can bring them into your relationship and have sex with them. And, as you know, your spouse doesn't care as long as you're careful. No. That's not God's plan. No, that's not His design. As I said, you can be a nut, do what you want to do. I'm going to walk in the wisdom of God. Friends with benefits. Having a sexual relationship apart from marriage. Hey, common in our culture. You kidding? As common as bread. Not God's plan. Never was God's plan. Now, Here's something I want to share with you. It's important that we understand things from God's viewpoint. It means a lot to Him. It's important to Him that we know how to keep our bodies so that we can glorify Him. Now, in the early church, a dispute arose. Because if you didn't know this, early church history lets us know that for the first 20 years after the resurrection of Christ, the church was predominantly Jewish. All these believers who came to Jesus, and you see it again in Acts chapter 3 and various places, they were Jews. They grew up under the law of Moses. The first Gentile to be born again happened to be an Ethiopian eunuch who worked for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And Philip, in Acts chapter 8, went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them. They had signs, wonders, and miracles. Peter and John came down, laid hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God led Philip to go down to a certain place. An angel told him. He went down there, waited. Wouldn't you know, here comes a chariot with this treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. And the Spirit of God said to him, join yourself to that chariot. So he hopped on. Wouldn't you know, the guy's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And he says, who is the prophet speaking of, himself or somebody else? So Philip began to share with him Jesus from that point. That man was born again. He said, what hinders me to be baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, he said, I believe that Jesus the Christ is the Son of God. So they stopped at a pond or lake, got out, Philip baptized him, the Holy Spirit snatched Philip up, planted him 15 miles away. But that man was the first Gentile that we have a record of to come to Christ. And so you see the church predominantly ministering to the Jews. Now persecution comes upon the church. They begin to spread and share the message of Christ beyond their local borders. You know, that's still God's plan. See, the gospel that we have, that we teach, that we share, is designed to be spread beyond these four walls. You with me? We don't want to become a religious bless me club. You with me? So, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Gentiles are being born again. God is confirming His word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So now some of the Jewish brethren begin to go beyond their normal comfort zone and begin to teach some of these Gentiles that, wow, you know, you guys are living a wild and crazy lifestyle. Listen, I know you've come to Christ, but if you're going to live this life for Jesus, you need to keep the law of Moses. Why did they teach that? Because that's what they grew up in. That's what they're used to. People do what they know. They share what they know. So don't be so quick to judge them, because they may not know any better. You with me? They're limited because that's all they know. Anyway, the church had a conference, first church conference. I'm going somewhere, hang with me. First church conference, got together and decided, look, what do we tell these Gentile believers? Do they have to keep the law of Moses? Do they have to keep the ritual, the ordinance, the ceremony, the circumcision, all this stuff? And so they got together, they had this conference, they prayed about it, and they wrote a letter to the Gentile churches that in essence said this. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these, notice this word, necessary things. So here's what's necessary. Number one, don't eat food that has been dedicated to some demon god or dedicated to idols. Number two, don't drink blood. That was a pagan practice that was quite common in ancient days. Number three, and there again, This is something that is a little foreign to us, but here I'll read it to you from Acts 15, 29. It says, that you abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and notice this, and from fornication. From which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. Notice how it was phrased. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost in us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Notice that fornication was one of those necessary things. What is fornication? Old English word. It literally means, the Greek word is porneia. Sound familiar? It's talking about illicit sexual activity. Listen, they grew up in a culture, they lived in a culture where, hey, sex was common, it's your thing, do what you want to do. Sex was even so ingrained into the culture, it was a part of their worship in many of these Gentile cities, especially in Corinth. Corinth was bad. You know, we often read the Bible and think that these places were little bumpkin towns, you know, with a few carts and oxen. And No. Corinth was the ancient Las Vegas of the day. It was visited by people from all over the world, known world. And in fact, there was a temple dedicated to the worship of Venus, the love goddess. And this cult was so large that in modern-day Turkey, the remnants of this facility are still there. They had a stadium that would seat 25,000 people. These people weren't country bumpkins. But notice that sex outside of marriage was one of those things that it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to them that this is necessary. You need to keep yourself. Are you with me? Now, this runs contrary to our culture. So, how do we address the issue? Number one, we want to be sure that we don't make foolish choices. Now, all of us have made foolish choices in the past. God forgave you, forget about it. I'm talking about your life from here forward. Everybody say forward. Forward. All right? Now, most of us have matured to the point where we're parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles. How do we deal with this? How do we live a godly life? How do we design our families as God designed for them to function in the midst of this crazy, lost culture? Well, number one, you've got to make a decision. Listen to me carefully. That you're going to live your life by principle. Live your life by principle. You consume the Word of God and you apply that Word in your life. And if there's something in your life that doesn't line up with the Word, then you're going to make some adjustments and changes. Are you with me? Been there, done that. Okay? You have to make some adjustments and changes. Now, here's a statistic that we're all familiar with. In African-American culture today, 73% of children born are born in a household with just a single parent. 73%. Something's wrong with the culture. Thank God for the kids. Thank God their parents decided to keep them and love them rather than destroy them. You with me? I'm not preaching a political message to anybody. I'm just telling you that when children are born outside of a marriage, the odds of them growing up in poverty are increased exponentially. In other words, they're destined to live their life poor. Poverty is a killer. Poverty is a killer. And so we've got to create a culture and a structure where we can exemplify and live marriage and family as God designed it. Because what God designed, remember our first lesson, if you didn't listen, if you're here for the first time today, and you know, you got to catch up a little bit. You can go online and find part one and part two. I don't have time to go back over all that stuff. Okay? But when you do it God's way, it's blessed. And remember that word? It's sweet. It's sweet when you do it God's way. That's His design for our lives. So, here's what I'm going to deal with today. As a parent, as a grandparent, as a young person, how do you find that person that you can marry and become one flesh with? Well, you've got to be very, very discriminating. You've got to be on your toes. Because everybody that comes down the road wasn't meant for you. You with me? I don't care how nice they look. I don't care how cool they are. You must be careful. Because everybody's not for you. Now, last week I talked about, you know, the first girl that I took out to a Christmas party. I was in college, actually, as 18 years old, as a freshman at Penn State, and had never dated anybody before. I had plenty of opportunities to get in trouble. Scared me. I passed them up. You with me? I remember many years ago, I was 12 years old. Ooh, should I tell this story? I probably did before. I was 12 years old, and a girl from our little town came and sat on the back porch with me. We're sitting on the swing, and she was tickling my ear, Charles. Never will forget it. Tickling my ear. Left ear. She's sitting on my right. And we're sitting on the swing, and she had her hot pants on, and she had a loose-fitting blouse, and she said, "Hey, let's go berry picking." You know, I lived in the country. My wife has seen where I grew up. She said the whole town's only 2 blocks long. It was small. And so I went up in the woods with this young girl to pick some berries. Then she took her blouse off. I went home. I did. I went home. Because she wanted to have sex up in the woods. Scared me, man. I went home. Here's my point. Fast forward 40 years later. I went to my small town because somebody had passed away. And while I was at the church, at the wake, I looked up. Standing in the front of the church was that same woman, now grown and matured. And I don't know any other way to say it other than this. Life has been very rough for her. She looked 20 years older than she was. And I looked at her and I thought in my mind, thank God I went home. Thank God I went home. You with me? Because there was no funny stuff, feelings. But thank God I went home. Now, I haven't always done the right thing, neither have you. Thank God for redemption. But we need to teach our children how to be discriminating. Listen, as parents, here's what you need to do. Be a parent. Parent your kids. Don't let them grow up any way they want. You with me? Find out who they're with. Find out about these people. Find out about their family. You with me? Now, I said last week, thank God we don't want our parents picking our spouses, but our parents do need to be involved in what we do and where we go and who we see. Are you with me? We need to be parents. Not just a place where our kids come home and sleep and leave and do whatever. You need to find out what they're doing, what they're listening to, who they're with. You need to ask some questions. You know, I remember a young man came to pick up glory and take her somewhere else. And Mama said, no, bring him here. I want to ask him some questions. I mean, Mama put the heat on. That dude was squirming and moving. And she's asking some very pointed questions. Are you saved? Well, you know, okay. You know what I ask people now? I say, you born again? You say, yeah. Where you go to church? Such and such. When's the last time you were there? Okay, and if they hesitate or they stutter, I know, all right. Sometimes they'll say, it's been a minute. Well, you ain't the one. You ain't the one. You're not planted in the house of God. You're not receiving nourishment from the Word of God. Now, listen, just because somebody's planted in the house doesn't mean they're the one either. You need to go a little bit further. Okay? And they need to prove themselves over a period of time. Can you be a gentleman? Can you? And these are things we need to teach our kids, teach our young men, teach our young women. Okay? Because they're not going to learn it from the culture. Oh, you thought they were. I'm sorry, you're mistaken. The culture's going to teach them a whole nother set of values. Al, let's hit number one. Here's what our kids learn from our culture. Now, I am sampling these selections for the purpose of education and commentary. This is Biggie's first big hit. What do our kids learn from our culture? I bet you we're the only church in the world playing B.I.G. this morning. Turn it up a little bit. Thank you, Al. This is a classic. It is. Watch the time there. We don't want to go too far. Yeah. Notorious B.I.G. What do our kids learn from the culture? Got a gun on your waist, please don't shoot up the place. There's some women in here that should be having my baby. Okay, Al, we want to fade that out. Got to be careful with some of this music. Throw your hands in the air if you a true player. What signals, what messages do we get from our culture? Now, we want to be up to date, we want to be hip, we want our kids to be cool, but listen, you need to listen to the music that your kids are listening to. Because there's nothing wrong with a particular genre or style of music. You with me? The poison is in the words, the message. And when you spend hours and hours and hours listening to stuff like this, it begins to change the way you think. And the way you think determines the way you act. And I don't want a guy who thinks he's a real player. I love it when they call me Big Papa. You with me? There's some girls in here that should be having my baby. Baby. Well, you ain't going out with my daughter. I'm sorry. I don't care how popular B.I.G. was. You got that mindset? I'm sorry. You ain't the one. You ain't the one. So you need to learn about people because the culture molds attitudes and belief systems. All right? That's why it's important that people be rooted in the Word of God. See, now I can listen to something like this. It doesn't bother me. Now, to be honest with you, I don't listen to it unless I'm using it for a purpose. Okay? But I heard some young guys the other day. Oh, man. Oh, no, no. B.I.G., he was the one, man. I'm telling you, his music was classic. Okay. Well, what was the message? This kind of stuff. Number two. Now, this one is so foul, I can only play the instrumental part. Because there's no way I could bleep enough of this stuff out. Are you with me? This one, you got your seatbelts buckled? This one's entitled Bitches Ain't S-H-I-T. Yeah, all right, you can stay it off. I'm going to read you some of the lyrics. This is a song written by Dr. Dre. Bitches ain't S-H-I-T. Bitches ain't S-H-I-T, but hoes and tricks. Lick on these and suck the... Let's get the blank out of here after you're done. And I hops in my ride to make a quick run. Here's some more of the lyrics. But she was hanging with a blank bitch doing this blank she do. Sucking on his blank just to get a buck or two. Dr. Dre, oh, what a wonderful music business. He's a billionaire with the headphones. What an example for our young people. Are you an idiot? Is there something wrong with you? Do you listen to the words, the message? The message is deadly. Now, I don't want a guy who's been listening to this for the last 6 months taking my daughter out. Are you with me? We need to wake up. Okay, now I'm not saying that you go through a guy's music library, give me a phone. Oh, that'd be a new interview technique. Are you saved? You got a job? Do you love Jesus? Give me a phone. Isn't that great? Give me a phone. I want to see what you're listening to. Let me see the pictures in your phone. Hey, there's some nuts out there. See, now what happens? Without parental guidance, without nurturing, without being established in the Word of God, drawing your life from God and His Word, this kind of stuff molds your attitudes and your belief systems. Where you look at a woman as a sex object, are you with me? And that's all they're for, because they ain't blank. That's not the kind of person that you want dating your kids. You with me? All right, Al, number three. Snoop Dogg wrote this song. Snoop! I'll tell you what, if Snoop came to town, the arena would be sold out. Smoke the weed. Let it play. Okay, Al, you can fade it out. Hey, got a great beat. Cool lyrics, man. Talking about global warming. Talking about Mother Nature. Listen, nature's not your mother. The earth is the planet that you live on, that God told you to take dominion over. Nature's not your mother. God is your father. And He created this place that we dwell in. But listen to the message. He leads right off with it. Smoke the weed every day. Smoke the weed every day. That's not the kind of person I want taking my daughter any place. You with me? That's not the kind of woman I want marrying my grandson. Smoke the weed every day. No. Well, that's our culture. Well, Pastor Bill, you know, they decriminalize marijuana. Listen. Just because something's not against the law doesn't mean you ought to participate in it. The Bible says, let us lay aside every sin and the weights that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. I'm sorry, you're not going to be a weed head and run the race with excellence. Well, Snoop Dogg, he's a musical genius. Oh, really? Have you listened to his music? Have you listened to the words? Have you watched his porn videos? I hope you haven't, please. I just wanted to mention that he did produce porn. Okay? That's not the kind of person that you want. I know he hugged, what's her name? Who's the woman? Martha Stewart. You know. Well, if he can hug Martha Stewart, he must be cool. Listen, the message is deadly. It's the wrong message. Our children have enough of a hill to climb. You don't need to be weighed down smoking weed every day. But that's the message. And artists like this have made millions of dollars off of the lives of our kids. And our culture is the one that suffers because of the garbage that they put out. And we need to be parents. And tell our kids, that's not the way you live. Well, he's got a Bentley. He's got this. Yeah, go bust hell wide open unless something changes. You with me? It's not the genre. It's not the style. It's the message. And so that means that we as parents need to be a little more diligent when it comes to finding a mate for our kids, finding a mate for ourselves. Amen? It's not easy. It's a challenge. And so we've got to understand the challenge and be prepared to deal with it. Amen? Okay, 36 minutes. Good time. Let me wind it up. If you're a single person and you want to find a husband or you want to find a wife, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, number one, and find the right person who loves God as much as you do, or more than you do. You with me? Now, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What does that mean? That simply means that you don't enter into covenant relationships or close relationships with people whose values are inconsistent with your faith. All right? So, I heard it said like this years ago. A guy said, you know, if you marry a child of the devil, you're going to have problems with your father-in-law. Some of you that went right over your head. You marry a child of the devil, you're going to have problems with your father-in-law. You need to marry a believer. You with me? Somebody who loves God as much as you do, or more than you do, number one. Number two, you need to keep sex out of the picture until you're married. I remember when Valerie and I were seeing each other. I think it was the second time we had lunch. And this is classic. I said, you know, Val, if we're going to see each other and have a relationship. Now, I'm a pastor. If I wasn't a pastor, still would have been the same. I said, you know, we need to do this God's way. I said, that means we need to keep our pants on. That's what I said. And she looked at me. She said, oh, you ain't got to worry about that. Valerie said to me, you ain't got to worry about that. She said, I ain't busting hell wide open for nobody. I said, all right, girl. Praise the Lord. You're going to keep me out of trouble. Yeah, she tried to run, but I got her. Anyway, but we had to understand each other. We wanted to do this God's way. We're going to build a relationship, we need to do God's way. So we didn't have sex, we didn't sleep with each other until after we were married. You with me? And people were shocked. They're like, you guys don't live together? No. Well, they said, nobody does that anymore. I said, oh, yes, they do. And so somebody said to me one time, well, what do you do? You're dating. What do you do? I said, I know when to go home. It's 11 o'clock, time for me to go. Got up, went to my own house. You with me? Now, this is so you can live life as God designed it. Because that's His original intent. Two people become one flesh. Male and female. Now, if you recall, some of you that were here 2 weeks ago, I mentioned an account that happened in the book of Genesis. When Abraham went to a foreign land, and this guy who was the leader was a bully. And so Abraham concocted this arrangement with his wife, Sarah. Says, you know what? If he finds out you're my wife, he's going to take you and he's going to kill me. So tell him you're my sister. Well, she was his half-sister, if you will. And so they did. But God intervened and warned this king in a dream. And this is what God said to him. And this phrase is, it's phrased this way in the book of Genesis. He said, if you touch that woman, you're a dead man. God told him. And the man woke up from the dream, called Abraham and said, man, what are you trying to do? Get me killed? I didn't know she was your wife. Man, take your wife. Take some goats. Take some sheep. Take some money. Get out of here. I mean, he gave Abraham anything he wanted. Man, just get away from me. I don't want to die like that. Now, I use that in reference with the Godfather thing. But here's something you need to know. There's revelation here. Why did God get involved in that situation? Simply put, God and Abraham had a covenant. And so God was obligated to protect Abraham. If someone came at Abraham, God was going to stand up for it. Well, guess what? When somebody's coming after your wife, they're not your friend. They're your enemy. And so God intervened. And so there's an element and an aspect that we're going to talk about next week when it comes to a marriage relationship where it's not just two people living together with a piece of paper. No, it's a covenant. And when you have a covenant relationship with your spouse, it is powerful. Are you with me? Not only that, God gets involved. The Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. God gets involved and showers favor upon you. The first miracle that Jesus performed was at a wedding, and that was not an accident. You with me? When you read it, it seems like things just sort of came together. But there was a reason Jesus performed this first miracle at a wedding. There's something about covenant and two people coming together that brings God on the scene and seals that relationship. And so if we want to live life as it was designed, if we want it to be sweet, we've got to do it God's way. There again, life is a series of choices. Faith is nothing more than a series of choices we make every day. You got to choose to do the right thing. But we live in a culture where we have additional challenges. And so we have to be careful. And as parents, the best we can do is pour our love into our kids, train them, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But when they leave your house, you got to trust God. You got to trust God. Never stop praying for your kids. I don't care what they do or what kind of relationship they're in. You have a covenant with God. You need to get before God and you can change some things. A well-known minister, I heard him say this one time. He said, you know, one day I was praying and the Lord said to me, I'm not going to let you fail. This minister said, Lord, why would you say that to me? He said, better men than me have failed. And he said, the Lord said back to him, I'm not going to let you fail because I've got your mama in my face. And his mother was a praying woman. She was strong. Strong. I have a friend who went and spent time with this particular minister's mother. And she said, mama didn't play. She was a woman of faith and a woman of prayer. And if it was the will of God for something to be, she didn't accept anything else. You with me? So we need to know how to teach and train our kids, instill godly values in our kids. Be discriminating. Don't let them listen to anything. Don't let them watch anything. Don't let them run with anybody. Okay? I mean, as a parent, I had a daughter who was, you know, hard to deal with. And I would go find out where she's going. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Well, Dad, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I said, this isn't the place for you. This isn't the guy for you. You with me? I was bold enough to be a parent. I did the same thing with my son. I embarrassed the boy. I did. But I love him. He made good choices and now he's doing well. So as a parent, you need to do the best you can. First of all, lead by example. Okay? I remember my stepson, Dean. Where is he? Right there. He said, yeah, Dave. He said, one thing I can say about Mom, she was never AWOL. What does that mean? She came home every night. And wasn't no dudes laying up in the bed. Uh-uh. Nope. She don't play that. You with me? I know our culture's different. I know it's like swimming upstream. But if you want it to be sweet, you want it to be blessed, you got to do it God's way. Amen? Not only that, when you establish these parameters, limits, and boundaries in your life, it's so freeing. It is. It's so freeing. Well, Pastor Bill, how do you do that? I can show you how. We'll talk about it next week. Amen? I can't share everything about the family in two or three sessions, so this one's going to be a six-week extended term. Hopefully you learned something today. Amen? See, when I was playing B.I.G., some of y'all held back because you know you wanted to start bopping, and I could see you holding back. You know? When I played Dr. Dre, I saw some eyes get big. See, you thought I was going to play the real song. No. I got better sense than that. Amen. Hey, you can be saved and have fun, can't you? Yeah, you can. Parents, be parents. Take control of your kids. All right? Don't let them run anywhere with anybody doing anything. Find out where they're going. Find out who the parents are. Find out what kind of lifestyle they live. Amen? Amen. If they like to smoke the weed every day, nope, you ain't the one. My wife asked a guy one time, came to see her stepdaughter, and she said, you got any kids? So, yeah, I got one. You know, she's such and such. Says, okay, my wife didn't embarrass the guy, say anything. But later on, she said, Glory, he ain't the one. She did. He ain't the one. So why, Mom? No. We ain't running with no baby daddies, baby mamas. No, he ain't the one. Okay? Because he looking to have another baby with somebody else. No, he ain't the one. This is reality, folks. Okay? We need to step up our game. We need to raise the bar. So that we are known for the things of God, the blessing of God, instead of being known for being one of the toughest places and the poorest places in the country. I'll close with this. Years ago, I was driving down the road, and I heard the local news, and they gave a statistic that Erie, Pennsylvania had the highest child poverty rate in the nation. You remember that? About 6-7 years ago? And the Spirit of God whispered to my heart and said, it's the church's fault. That's heavy. How in the world can we be at fault? Not teaching the truth? Not leading by example? Making people feel good and they go home and live like the culture. And we're dealing with the after effects, foolish decisions. Well, I can be assured when I stand before Jesus, it won't be my fault. Amen? And it won't be your fault. Now remember the scripture we began with in Proverbs chapter 24. Through wisdom is a house, family, builded. That word bana means builded or repaired. And so many of us are in a situation where things have been done, decisions have been made that weren't the best. But now God is going to give you and has given you the wisdom and insight to help repair that situation. Amen. 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 And you can turn it around and it can be blessed and it can be sweet. Amen. But you got to be a person of principle. Amen. Amen. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Right. There is no in between. Right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?